Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad once again to meet with you another day, and another day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and he will rule from Mount Zion in Jerusalem over this whole planet. And man's not going to solve the problem. We had a lot of people last night at the Republican debates, and they talk like they have the answers, but when it comes down to it, seems like the problems always stay with us. But there is coming a day when the problems will be solved, because our Creator, who created this world and all everything that's in it, the Lord Jesus, he's the one that has the intelligence and he has the power, and when he takes over, all the problems will be solved. Well, today, I'm so glad Brother Clark Block is with us over here, and he's right across the table here from me, and he's looking good. And then Pastor Al Davis and Pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he always has a fantastic report to give us on the Bible and science. And so I'm going to let him talk now and give his report and tell something about what he has going.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be with you today. And I also want to remind people that you can find out more about Bruce Musselman and also listen to past programs if you go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can find out some things there. Also, some of the things that Bruce mentioned, some of the resources and stuff are available there at whereisgodsword.com. And I was looking at something in the Bible here, and I'm not a math person, but if God's Word is true, then we would expect the math that's in God's Word to be correct. Wouldn't that make sense?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, there's a... I'll say so-called error that people like to point out to try and say that if God's word's correct, why is the math not right? So I thought we'd look at that, because math is a science, and I'm not a mathematician by any means, but math is a science. And here we'll find it. This occurs in two locations. It occurs in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 2, but I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 7. Starting in verse number 23, and this is where Solomon's having the things made, and he's got a man named Hiram that's helping him, and they're making the things that are going to be in the temple. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 7, starting verse 23, and he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. Now, there's more to this, and I'm going to read it in a minute, but we'll stop right there for the moment. And this is the supposed error in the Bible. To find the circumference or something, you take the diameter and you multiply it by pi in order to get the diameter, the circumference. I mean, that's a common formula. Or if you have the radius, it would be 2 times the radius times pi to get the circumference. And pi is approximated usually as 3.14, and it goes on, so far as we know, for infinity, never repeating. It's an interesting number. And when you look at this thing right here, it gives us a value of pi that's just 3. That would be the 30 cubits divided by the 10, which is the diameter. And so if you had 30 equals 10 times pi, you know, if you remember your basic algebra, you divide the 10 from both sides. So 30 divided by 10 is 3. And they say, well, that's saying pi equals 3. And that's an error. Well, there's actually two resolutions to this that are both very scientifically correct, and people don't stop to think about this. The first one that we can deal with is in the realm of significant numbers. And a significant number has to do with accuracy. And in engineering and in sciences, I remember when I was studying at Colorado State myself, we had to learn about significant numbers. Sometimes when you measure something, you can't get real accurate. And when they were measuring with cubits and things of that nature, you know, a cubit was from your elbow to the end of your fingers. And so if you had a longer arm than somebody else, you might have had a bigger cubit than somebody else. And so we approximate the cubit as being about 18 inches. But some cubits were longer, some cubits were shorter. So in terms of the degree of accuracy, you really cannot, with significant figures, get much closer than the 10 and the 30. And so when you do that, 10 could have actually been any number more precisely from about 9.5 to 10.4. And 30 could have ranged anywhere from 29.5 to 30.4. So you round to the nearest whole integer. And so in doing so, pi, 3.14, is rounded off to begin with. If you round it off to the nearest whole integer, what number do you get? 3. So going by significant numbers, there is no problem here. But a lot of people say, well, that's not good enough. If it's God's word and it's supposed to be correct, it should be more accurate than that. All right, well, here's the other way that you can look at it. Let's read the rest of 1 Kings chapter 7. And in verse 23, we see where he made the molten sea. And that basically is a big bowl. Basically, they called a sea or a laver or different things like that. And it was a container for water. It was a big tub or a big bowl. And it was 30 cubits. It was 10 cubits from one brim to the other. And that was probably measured from the outside edge to the outside edge. Then it said 30 cubits did compass it round about. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 24 says, and under the brim of it round about, there were knops compassing it, 10 in a cubit compassing the sea round about, and the knops were cast in two rows when it was cast. So we also learned that this thing was cast. They had a mold, basically, probably dug in the clay dirt that they poured the metal in when it was melted, and then they had another form that they put down in there in order to make this. And when we continue reading, it says it stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward north, 3 looking toward the west, and 3 looking toward the south, and the 3 looking toward the east, and the sea was set upon them, and all the hinder parts were inward, and it was, referring to the sea or this big basin again, and it was an hand breadth thick. Now, hand breadth, how big's a hand breadth? We approximate it as being anywhere from about 4 inches to about a third of a cubit and various different things. But if we take it at 4 inches, and as I said, I'm not a mathematician, and I'm not going to try and give you all the details on how it works out. But basically, if you take the diameter from brim to brim, and you subtract the hand breadth, so that's 4 inches on one side, 4 inches on the other side, and it comes down to an inner circumference, or well, I'll get ahead of myself here. We have an inner radius of 86 inches. See, the outer radius would have been 90 inches. That's 180 inches. Go ahead.
You know, maybe you could tell us exactly what a circumference is in radius for those that don't know. Just explain that.
Yeah, I had something beeping there. I don't know why. But the circumference is the distance around in the circle. And the diameter is from one side of a circle to the other. The radius is from the center of the circle to the edge of the circle. And it was good that you mentioned that. So the outer diameter would have been 10 cubits, which works out to about 180 inches, which means the radius would have been 90 inches. So remember our formula for the circumference is the radius times 2 times pi equals the circumference. So if you take the radius of 90 inches and you subtract 4 inches for the hand's breadth, you get 86 inches. And so if you have an 86-inch inner radius, that's from the inside of the brim. You know, like when anybody's ever done plumbing, you know that you have to be aware of the outside diameter and the inside diameter or radius. But all that comes out to 86 inches for that. And you plug that into our formula. So 2 times the 86 inches times pi would equal the circumference. So since we know what the circumference is, 30 of the cubits times 18 inches for each cubit works out to 540. And so 2 times 86 comes out to 172. You divide the 540 by 172 to get pi. And would you care to guess what number you get?
What do you get?
You get 3.14. How about that? Rounded off to the second decimal there. It's actually 3.139, but 3.14, rounded off to the second decimal place there, which is pi. So it's a pretty good approximation, isn't it?
Sounds good.
Sounds like God knew what he's talking about, and it sounds like Solomon knew what he was talking about. Oh, and incidentally, this was done years before the Greeks ever come up with the concept of pi. So that's, there it is.
That's great. You know, the Bible is God uses math, and the Bible is mathematical. And one of the greatest mathematicians, Blaise Pascal, when he checked into a motel, he saw a Bible there for the first time in his life, and he thought this was this put together by something beyond man because of the mathematical construction of the Bible. And there's many things that show this. God's number of completion is number 7, and these numbers in the Bible all have a meaning. 5 is the number of death, you see, and Genesis chapter 5, it says they died, you know, and you see this numbers. We could go on and show the numbers of the Bible and have a whole program on that. It's just amazing. But the Creator wrote this Bible, and we have it today, and the King James itself has a mathematical construction that is absolutely astounding and amazing. Well, thanks for that report. You know, I enjoy getting letters, and I was just reading one today. It was really, really a blessing. And if you want to write us, you could also write us at Post Office Box 609-238, Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. I'm going to repeat it one more time because sometimes I hear something in radio or television and I don't have the pencil nearby. But it would be Bruce Musselman, Musselman. P.O. Box 609-238, Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. It'd be interesting hearing from you and hear your comments, or maybe you have a question dealing with the subject of God's Word. Well, last night, of course, many of you probably watched the Republican debates, and one of the interesting things that I noticed on there was the fact that they talked about Israel, where they stood on Israel. Here's a little country of about 6 million people, and yet a country of nearly 400 million people, thousands of miles away, it becomes the center of a discussion. And it is always in the newspaper and on television discussing Jerusalem, Palestine, Israel. And the reason for it is that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and he will take over this planet, and he is going to rule from Jerusalem. And so he is getting the attention of the world on that particular place. And in that country, of course, it is people that live there, Jewish people, and then some Palestinians also. Now, I want to talk about what the Lord says about it. It's found in Genesis 12. And so many things in Genesis shows the beginning of things in this world. I'm sort of amazed when you look at all the things that even today, the 6-day week, and then they had the 7th day was the day of rest. And where did that come from? Well, God set it up, and it's stated right there in Genesis. So how come when a lady gets married, she takes her husband's name. Well, that comes directly from the book of Genesis. God set it up, and it's still being practiced today. He called Eve and Adam, he called him Adam, Mr. and Mrs. Adam. So we still do that today. So the book of Genesis shows the beginnings. Now, in here, God reveals himself to us beyond a shadow of a doubt. And one of the ways that he did it was through the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. And so there's many prophecies God gives to this people. And it is an absolute proof that the Bible is true and it's the Word of God. It talks about in Genesis chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Actually, Abraham became the first Jew. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." And you look at these prophecies, every last one of them came true. "I will make of thee a great nation." Yes, it is a great nation. And you look today at the number of Pulitzer Prizes and the number of prizes that Jewish scientists have received. And so they have become a great nation. "And I will bless thee." And that means to increase thee. He will bless thee. And so he was going to be increased with children. "And make thy name great." Well, that's another prophecy. It's true. Abraham's name is great to the Arabs. It's great to the Protestants, great to the Baptists, great to the Jews. His name is great all over the world, great to the Arab people. And it says, "And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And so he was a blessing because through his children we have received the Word of God, and we've come to know the God of Abraham through the Bible. And it's certainly a blessing to know the Lord. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Well, you see, when Joseph went down into Egypt, what happened in Egypt? Well, everybody else had a famine, and instead they were warned about the famine, and so they were blessed, and they had reserves and supplies ready for that famine because God had blessed Joseph, who was a seed of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham. So you see it right there. And so when Egypt blessed the Jewish people, they were blessed, but then they decided to make them slaves. And so what happens? Well, God led them out of slavery, but the plagues of God came on the land of Egypt. They were cursed when they cursed Israel, when they went against Israel. And so Pharaoh, who had probably one of the most powerful armies in the earth, his army was buried in the middle of the sea when the sea went over his army and drowned it. And so this goes on all the way through history. And so you see, we could just give case after case. Any nation that would attack Israel, if they were blessing Israel, then they were blessed. If they cursed it, they were cursed. And this went right up till our time. For instance, Spain got very powerful and wealthy. But when when they had the persecutions against the Jews in Spain, Spain went down and became poverty-stricken and poor. You see, this happened again with, for instance, Russia and the United States. You see the difference. The United States took the Jews in, and they were blessed. And so the Baptists that set up Rhode Island allowed the Jewish people to come there, and they had total freedom of religion. And the United States over and over again has helped the Jewish people and blessed them. And so the U.S. has been blessed, and many millions of Jews migrated to the United States, and God blessed it over and over, and it became a world power. Russia had pogroms against the Jews before the communists had taken over and made life very, very difficult for them. And they, many times through these pogroms, they were murdered, robbed, and raped. And so what happened? Well, in World War I, Russia was defeated, and the Japanese had defeated Russia before that. And then finally the communists took over. And under Joseph Stalin, they lived, it was almost a living hell in Russia. And people, it got so bad, everybody was afraid. From Stalin, even, I was reading a book by Mr. Khrushchev, who was followed Stalin and was right there with Stalin. He said, when you went home after being at a party at the Kremlin, he says, nobody knew if they were going to make it home because they might be arrested on the way home. And not only that, but the people in Russia would have a suit of clothes in case they were arrested and taken to Siberia, have a suit of clothes in their closet. Nobody knew if they were going to be arrested. And Stalin had arrested millions of people that were in jail at that time. And so many people died and were starved to death and shot. It was just awful. But what happened? At the same time, the United States had peace because they had blessed Israel, and Russia had caused them all kinds of trouble. And so we could just go on and on from country after country. One of the things that Hitler lost was he fought a war, and he had a big, powerful military machine, but he went against the Jews. And so the country of Germany was bombed out, looked like the moon after World War II, and the people were burned and gassed just as Hitler had done to the Jews. And also at that time, England turned against the Jewish people, would not, although they controlled Palestine, would not let the Jews come back to the land. And so they were bombed also, and they had lost their empire. And at the end of World War II, England lost the empire that she had ruled over the whole world. And so there's a pattern going on. And the United States recently, and we don't want to let them off the hook, recently they have stated that they were, the presidents have said that they would divide the land. And God said he was going to judge the nations in the book of Joel for parting my land. God said that he gave that land to Israel. Right here in chapter 12, if you read it, it says here that God gave this land to Abraham, and it belonged to him forever. When we've started to, the president started to do this immediately, every time he made a speech that about dividing the land, we got hit with some kind of a horrible tornado or a cyclone or something that hit the United States. God's not no respecter of person or nations. And when the United States pushed Israel to get the Jewish settlers out of Gaza, and so the Israeli army, because the United States had practically forced them to do that, they went down to Gaza and they took out the Jewish settlers who had lived there for many, many years, and they forced them out. Well, within 24 hours, Katrina hit, and 120,000 American homes were destroyed. Our God is a God, when he says something, we better take him serious. And we know the Bible is true because it says right here, he says, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. If you curse them, I'll curse you. And we know the Bible is true. Now, the devil's job is he wants to destroy them to prove that the Bible isn't true. And I read recently where someone was saying we need to kill all the Jews. I thought at first it's just preposterous. It ain't going to happen, whether to put it in simple English, because God is protecting them. And God used them to reveal himself. If you could destroy them, that shows that the Bible isn't true and we never did know anything about God. But God gave those people to the world to spread the knowledge of himself. And so they did in the Old Testament times. And in the New Testament, it was the Jews that were scattered over the whole world that gave the gospel to the whole world. It says, all nations will be blessed. How are we blessed? We're blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was punished for us, and we can meet God without any record we've ever sinned. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so what a wonderful Bible we have, and what a wonderful God we have. And we have proof of our faith. Our faith is based not on our imaginations, our wish fulfillment, but it is based on absolute fact. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God has given us absolute proof and evidence of himself in his word, the Bible. And we know that the Bible is true because everything it says comes to pass. Well, you have a wonderful day. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.